Yep.
Still talking about it.
He's
such a good dude.
He's the voice.
He is that. And not an easy job, but he does it very well. Not an easy job, Randy, for you to, you know, all the things that you have to do and everything going on. So everybody's, now that you've had a couple of games, everything's good. Everybody's gung-ho. Staff is on top, just ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I feel like we've settled in pretty well. You get all the anticipation and you try to make everything perfect for that first opening night, and then you get 74 chances to do it a little bit better as you go along. So, yeah, things are in good shape. The ballpark looks good. You know, we've got the construction to deal with out on the north end, but that really doesn't affect very much from a fan experience standpoint so far. And who can argue with the weather that we've had for the dates that we've had to work with so far? So we're off to a good start. The team's off to a good start. It feels like the pitch clock discussion has invigorated interest in baseball, I think, just in general, major league, minor league, iCubs, and otherwise. I'm getting more questions and back and forth with people just casually, in addition to the things we try to do formally to promote the club. So it feels like it could be a great summer if Mother Nature continues, and certainly the team has a lot of interesting guys to come watch.
Very interesting guys.
So balls and strikes. Half the time they're being called, I guess, intelligently by a computer. The other time it's by review, if need be, or what's going on again down?
It hasn't started yet because they're finishing camera installation at other ballparks.
That's
Principal
right.
Park
okay.
is ready to go, but they want everybody to go at the same time. And there were some holdups
like
where winter was worse than it was here in other places.
St. Paul probably still has snow.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be later this month. They haven't committed to a date until all of those things are cleaned up. But when it does go, it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games will be automatic balls and strikes. So the umpire will signal what the cameras and the computer is telling him is a ball or a strike. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the challenge system will be in play, where each team gets three challenges per game. Only the pitcher, catcher, or batter can instigate a challenge. The coaches have no say. So you have to be pretty judicious as a teammate not to just hog all the challenges and you're a bat because you're struggling.
So three no matter what. If you get one right,
if your challenge is upheld, I think you keep it.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's good then.
So if a pitch is challenged, the umpire will tap his head. There's a graphic that goes up on the video board. It's 12 seconds or less, whatever that graphic shows, the path through the zone or out of the zone, ball or strike, that's what it is. Get back in the box, we move on.
Oh, I love it.
So the essence of the two versions, are they trying to get a feel this year for what seems to work? Or
yeah.
Is that why they're doing the two different?
Yeah, they're testing both, and they have tested both. The Pacific Coast League and the Arizona Fall League had this last year, and so they're expanding that. Charlotte in our league had it too. We don't play them. But all of AAA has it now. And there is some measurement of which system has more balls in play, which system has more strikeouts looking, which system instigates all of the different metrics that they want to measure. And they were quite frank in the discussions and presenting this at the winter meetings that the challenge system adds kind of an excitement level and attention level,
right,
that created some buzz in the ballpark at key moments when they were testing it in other places, which they were kind of interested in. But it was a small sample size, so now they want to expand it to all 30 AAA clubs and get more data on it. And just like the bigger bases and the shift rules and the pitch clock and all the other things, they'll analyze it, present it to the players, get some feedback, and see if it's ready for Major League Baseball or still needs to be tweaked and honed in a little bit more before they would consider it.
We talked a little bit in this first week. Unintended circumstances, stolen bases up, and when you think, well, bigger bases really make that difference. It's knowing, I mean, they are so technical now. It's knowing when that pitcher has to lift his foot to go home. They're getting big jumps, and stolen bases are up. I don't know if that's the same in AAA as it is in Major League Baseball, but Major League Baseball stolen bases and successful stolen bases are up.
So I think the bigger bases were that one of the, it was an intended consequence to instigate
right.
more stolen base attempts. And then certainly the success rate has always been pretty high because we've got times on everybody. You know how fast your guy is. You know how fast the pitcher is. You know it's a math equation.
Right.
At that point, the metrics has said that the stolen base wasn't worth it because they were so focused on extra base hits that you're in scoring position at first base, which was not part of 1980s and 1990s
right.
baseball mentality. That's what, you know, some of the other metrics were telling the development people. I didn't think the bigger bases instigated more stolen base attempts at AAA last year because I don't think they strategize at AAA the same way
right.
that they do in the big leagues. It is having a bigger effect at the major league level because now they are formatting that into strategy as opposed to just player development and giving them an opportunity to do it. And that was meant to be a byproduct. What, you know, fans in the surveying that Major League Baseball has done, they wanted more action, including more stolen bases and doubles and triples. The bigger bases helps all of those things and has a player safety element that comes alongside of it, but really the action was part of it. So the pitch clock helped the pace of the game and the overall time of the game. And then the one that they haven't cracked yet is fans like knowing who the starting pitchers are. Fans are frustrated by 75 pitches and get them out, and I've got a new guy every inning, and I don't get to know who any of these guys are. I don't know who my horses are. You know, this whole opener, and then a guy gives me 3.5 innings and don't face a guy that, you know, baseball fans love. Max Scherzer's going out there. Greg Maddux is going out there. Bob, get whatever era you're from, you want to know who that guy is on your staff. And we've lost that a little bit in the way we've managed pitch counts and so forth. So there hasn't been a rule change necessarily to institute that. That's going to be a mindset shift of things that comes in with physical training. But those are some of the priorities that fans have said they wanted to see in the game to help their engagement level.
Do you see if, once again, we're talking to Randy Wehofer, he is VP and assistant GM of the Iowa Cubs. Do you think we'll ever see that, they're getting ready for the NBA. You have to play in 65 games in order to get your bonuses at the end of the year for most valuable player and all that to try to get them. Do you think you'll ever see a rule in baseball that you can only have in one 9-inning game, you can only have 4 pitchers or something in that general area? Or do you think it'll correct itself?
I think that's a long way away. I think you have to be comfortable with – you've got to find a balance from the organization side of what they believe is the long-term investment they're making in these guys. And it's a health and safety thing because if we're going to give you a $30 million contract over 5 years, you better be out there
right.
for 5 years.
I get that part, too.
You know, so that's where most of this is rooted. So
that's that general manager side, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we're paying you to do this, and I understand that as well. And I've been frustrated that, you know, he comes in for 3 pitches and then they take him, you know, for a situation, because what you said all along since you've been on here, baseball is so analytical that at some point it's going to have to change because you're not going to have any advantage and you're going to have to find another one somewhere else.
Well, and I think they've changed it a little bit with the you have to face 3 batter rule. So you get get away with the specialist. I do think in order to be a major league player, you should need to be able to do more than one thing really well. So if you can only get out left-handed batters, I don't think you deserve a spot on the major league roster. If you can only get out right, you can only hit left-handed pitchers, I don't think you deserve a spot. You know, you should be able to be a little bit more versatile than that in order to be one of the 26 on a major league roster. So we've seen some of that, but I don't think you'd ever go to the point where you can only use 4 because great pitchers stink some days. You may just need 5 right. pitchers, not because you're manipulating workload or pitch count, it's because somebody's getting too much of the plate or not enough of the plate, and you're just getting hammered, and you need to give somebody a different look out there. So, I think – there's been a mind I heard a scout say it this way, and I agree with this, and I don't think it's generally accepted practice anymore. It's really hard for one major league pitcher to give up 9 runs in a game, but it's not so hard for 4 major league pitchers to give up 12. But I don't think that's accepted as the mindset currently, that I think you always think the more guys you go through, the more likely you are to run into a guy who doesn't have it that day. From my experience, watching as a fan and being around teams, I think they don't think it's as random as that anymore based on the research and the numbers that they have. And I don't know if I'm right, they're right, or probably somewhere in between, as most things usually are. But I think that's probably one of the philosophical changes that, you know, as bad as this guy is, somebody's going to hit one at somebody here pretty soon because we know he's a good pitcher.
Right. I know at the end of the year, does that 26 number go up towards the end of the year? Do you get to have more people on your roster at the end of the year than you do at the beginning of the year?
So September 1st, you get two extra players.
Two extra.
It
so
goes
to
28. It used to go to 40 September 1st, and that's why we play until September 24th now, because now you only get to go to 28, and that's why AAA plays deeper into the season to stay parallel so that you have the opportunity to make those roster adjustments for injury or performance.
Better for you that happens like that?
It's more games, more opportunities to open the gate, more, certainly in this part of the country. If I have to compete with work and school and all the things that we compete with, I'd rather do it with September's weather in general than April's. Today not included.
doesn't happen.
Different kind of April.
Yeah, but in general, September in this part of the country is a great time of year for baseball, and it's during pennant race time where baseball engagement is still good. And even with high school football and things starting last year, we had better attendance and better participation in September than we did April. Last April wasn't 82 degrees at game time on a Wednesday afternoon. So there's always context to that. But I think it's in general a good thing.
I want to talk to you about a couple of players, and we have a couple of minutes, so maybe I'll give you a heads up. So I heard some conversation today about Ian Happ and Kyle Schwarber about how their careers and how some people didn't think they were going to make it and all that. I want to get your on that, but we'll wait until the next segment. So we'll kind of tease that because they're both really fun players to watch and have ties in it, and it's interesting. When you are you're paying attention to this first part of the season, even at the AAA level. And I always ask this, and I probably asked you this already. Pitcher have more an advantage right now or hitter have more an advantage?
Typically, the pitcher takes advantage of weather early in the season. So run production has been up. Wind's been blowing out, and it's been fairly warm for this time of year. Usually, pitchers take advantage of that, and hitters catch up because of elements, although the way pitchers are being held back in terms of workload at spring training, I think hitters come out a little bit more ready within the last 5 years than they probably ever have, because pitchers usually were stretched out to be ready to go opening day, and you didn't get as many at-bats in spring training as a regular because you was going to the guys fighting for jobs. I think that has shifted slightly, but under normal circumstances, I think the pitchers are usually ahead, and then the hitters catch up as the weather changes. And this year has had some exceptions.
And that's so interesting. And you know, do you think? And I'll tease this one too. We'll move this one in. This is my next one. I'm going to ask you. Do you think just by listening to the fans and all this for all the time that you have, are fans more likely to love a 2-1 defensive game or a 10-8 offensive game? Don't answer it because we're going to get music here. I've teased two things. I'm not going to remember both of them.
We're going to talk about Nelson Velasquez last couple days as well,
yes,
too.
And we'll do that as well. Once again, we have Randy Wehofer in here with us. We love having him in here on Wednesdays. I have a zillion baseball questions can ask.
You're
listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Randy, Scott, and I'll be back right after this break. Des Moines Urgent Care Clinics are open in both Ankeny and West Des Moines. No appointment needed. You can look up wait times online at demos.com. Once again, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, thank you very much for all that you do for this show. Okay, so I can remember my two questions. So you ask him your question you wanted, and then we'll go to my two.
Oh, I just was, obviously, when you're watching the Cubs game, the big Cubs, last night. It was, what's his name? Nelson Velasquez hit a grand slam. That was a big deal. And everything they kept saying is he was just called up. He was just, so Tuesday timeline, when they say he was just called up, was he on the move Monday or was it Tuesday morning or when did he leave the iCubs?
I think he left on the off day coming back from St. Paul. He was with the team in St. Paul, hit another. He was leading our team with four home runs through the first 10 days, through the first two series. So they made that move because Javier Assad pitched, I think, in relief on Monday night. Or was it Sunday afternoon? Assad pitched, didn't have a great outing. They've been short in the outfield. I don't remember who it is, but somebody's wife is expecting and may need a couple of days here soon. So they're looking at all different sorts of things. So they wanted to get Assad back to starting here. Felt like they were playing too many guys out of position in Chicago. Velasquez was red hot, and he had experience with the team and was up for a good bit of the second half of last season. So all those things put together, he left sometime probably Monday off day.
It's funny because when they use terminology of he's just, it's like, oh, he just literally got out of the car from Des Moines, walked in, put on the Cubs uniform, and hit a grand slam. I didn't think it was quite that, but it was fun baseball to watch last night.
Sometimes it goes like that.
I'm sure it does. I mean, and you know, that's one of the nice things, you know, getting them there, Des Moines Airport, you know, I mean, all those things. I mean, it's, man, Randy, you got a difficult job with all these things that are going on.
Well, it's not like I'm the one driving them.
No.
I'm in the loop on a lot of these things.
We don't need Randy driving them to the airport. No. We need Randy driving here.
Sure, Randy gets many obscure phone calls of,
oh, my,
where's my hotel room? Exactly.
Yes. I can't imagine just going through and trying to find everything, for places for him to stay and places for him to live and all that. It's just crazy. We talked a little bit. So in all your experience and in being with the iCubs, do you think fans in general like this is always the debate, because I'm a huge pitching defense guy. My kids are all, you know, offensive guys. Got to see offense. You know, do you, just by watching the crowds that you have, do you think there's a, they like one or the other more?
I don't think there's a way to paint it generally. I think the folks that bring their scorecard and are watching with headphones on, they like the 2-1 game.
Yep.
I think the people who are buying beer bats and out with their friends want it to be 12-10.
And see, I'm a 2-1 guy, but I got my beer.
As you said, you're inning 1-3 is, yeah, you get your scorecard, and then you've got the beer hat on afterwards. So.
But I, you know, and you guys know well enough, and probably people listening in this format know well enough, that if it's a 2-1 game where one or both of the pitchers are really dominant and it's going to turn at any moment, that's always entertaining and always engaging. Sometimes it ends up 2-1, but both guys walk six,
right,
and somebody hits a double play and, you know, it's a lot of wasted time with pickoff throws and pitch visits from the pitching coach because some guy's just afraid to throw it because he's somehow surviving, but he's not pitching real well. You know, today's game ended 10-6. We had 16 runs and 20 hits. It finished in 224.
That's crazy. I love it. Everybody loves it.
And you know,
maybe not because it was 82 degrees and beautiful out. Maybe they just wanted to sit there all day long, which is fine. But that's a great story, I think.
Yeah.
You agree?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it cracked me up because you were like, well, I wonder if the game got done. I'm like, dude, it's 4:00. If it's not, we have a problem.
We did.
So,
but it didn't always used to be like that. So I love that.
Yeah, because it was open-ended. Was it a 1:00 start? Could it go 3 hours plus? I mean, it's, yeah.
And it still can, but but the pace of the game today, with the wind was blowing out. So each team had, Omaha had one bigger half inning than we did today. You know, we traded one run, solo home runs here, solo home runs there. They had a 3-run inning. We got 3 in the bottom, so it stayed tied. And then they broke it open with a 2-out hit in the 8th. We didn't have an answer in the 8th or the 9th. They win the game. But it was back and forth. It was entertaining. There was action. But it wasn't, like, either team was kicking the ball all over the field. If it's 12-10 because of errors, that's no fun to watch either. No. That's not great. You know, so there's always – that was the thing I loved in my broadcasting time, and I was, you know, being a math nerd on top of it, I always wondered how far into the game do you get before it becomes unique, you know, and how far do you want to boil it down? You go 1-2-3 in the top of the first. Well, is it three strikeouts? Was it three groundouts? Was it three fly? All the different combinations that you can get from a game that make the story of every game interesting and unique if you really want to dig close enough. And if you don't, that's fine. You hope for a few moments that makes you stand up and cheer or yell or something that happened to find a villain to boo or whatever the case may be. You know, there's a little something for everybody. And I think that's why the game is relevant 110 years after it started at the major league level, because you know what to expect, but you really don't. Every day you go, you know, most of the no-hitters I've seen have been on crummy Tuesdays as opposed to packed houses on Fridays. You just, you know, you never know what you might see every day.
Not often in the marquee game of the week.
Yeah.
Between marquee pitching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Well, and with the game, it's not like you're going to, yes, a home run gets a heck of a cheer, but a double play, when a double play is needed because you got, you know, runners at first and third and you get that double play, that, boom, you're going to get that cheer as well. So to put more emphasis on the offense or the defense, we've been at games. I mean, it's been a battle, and it's a lot of fun.
It is.
It's a great great environment.
Oh my God!
And I think that, in my opinion, what separates professional sports from amateur sports is in those moments. In most amateur sports I've seen, the moment is too big for somebody and they realize that the tension of the game is building and the game's on the line and somebody makes a mistake and that allows the other team to win. More often at the professional level and the AAA level, even more than the single A level, it's somebody executes and somebody rises to the occasion that makes the difference in the game. And I find that really compelling. And I think it'd be the same for watching the Masters. Do you want to watch the guy four putt or do you want to watch the guy birdie to win it? The magic is in the birdie to win it,
right,
not the guy that kicks it around the green like I would and turns into the Kevin Costner guy from Tin Cup. You know, you want to see someone rise to the occasion, and it's only the excellence and the repetition that comes with getting to the high levels that really produces that most often for me.
And I think it's really funny. Once again, we're talking to Randy Wehofer. He is the VP and assistant GM of the Iowa Cubs. Somebody sent me a YouTube video of Greg Maddux, and he was talking about it. It was more about last year, not as much this year. And that general thing that you said, the amount of walks that pitchers were doing. And he said, you do not know how frustrated I got when I got to three balls on somebody, that it drove me crazy. And he goes, these pitchers are coddled so much anymore coming up that they don't understand. More efficient and less pitches makes you more money in the long run, because if you're throwing how you're throwing now and you're throwing 100 pitches and you're only getting to the sixth inning, you're not going to have a long career. And I think baseball's redoing that, going, yeah, we can't have these guys throwing 100 pitches in seven innings. We're not going to last. But I also think that they having middle relievers as much as they had before, you know, I don't know if that works as much now. I mean, all these things, they try to come up with new things to try to get that thing, but then everybody can counteract so fast anymore that it makes baseball even that much more fun, because that's what baseball truly is.
We talked about that in the offseason, that I was worried that they were going to make it a game that was not recognizable. They're going to take the romance and the legacy of baseball and change too much.
Well, they made
it's an enjoyable game.
It's just faster.
Yes. I mean, you can sit down and watch it on TV. You can sit down and watch it at I always call it Sec Taylor. I know it's Principal Park, but I'm still a Sec Taylor guy. I mean, wherever you are, whether it's in person or on TV, it's a different game right now. And it's energetic and fun.
And Manager Shane, we had Joe Maddon on 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And to pick his brain, and he's like, I've managed every way you can manage. I've had teams that I had to manage every way that you can manage.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't have a favorite. I just need to know my guys. And he goes, that's the thing that people struggle with coaching, is they don't know their guys. They know the salaries and they know the stats, but they don't know their guys. And he goes, I had to know my guys or I couldn't do what I did. I talked a little bit about Ian Happ and Kyle Schwarber. And the only reason I say that is, you know, Ian Happ's up and down. He's just had an up and down career. Very talented young man. Going to be a great player. Kyle Schwarber was that way too, and even more talented. What I think Kyle had to do is he just had to refine himself as a baseball player. I think what Ian needed to do was just get at bats. Is that the biggest struggle for some of these young athletes that are so good? It's just the at bats.
Yeah, I'm glad that we transitioned, because the follow-up comments I was going to have to our last conversation fits perfectly with the discussion, in my opinion, of Happ and Schwarber. Is that I think what's different about the game is when a player fails, it used to be the player's fault. And now when a player fails, three people in the front office get fired. And that's where the coddling comes from. And Happ was the best player. All of these guys are the best player wherever they were. And the game will humble you at some point. And Happ was in the wrong spot in the line, in the wrong organization, following Bryant and Baez, who burned bright really quick and really fast. And so the expectation was everybody that comes up is our next superstar. And that's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not realistic. So when Happ didn't come up and become an MVP candidate and a Rookie of the Year candidate, and then he needed to come back down, it seemed like a much bigger deal because the guys he was around didn't seem to need that extra time. Right. And I think that says more about the other guys than it does about Happ.
Right.
We get too wrapped up in getting to the big leagues and not staying in the big leagues. It's always about day one. It's never about year five for enough of these guys, because that's the way the support system is treating you. We got to get you to the big leagues. It's always the conversation. Well, I got to get to the big leagues. I got to get to the big leagues. Now, lots of guys get to the big leagues. The great ones stay right in the big leagues. There was a guy out running when I was in A-ball, and I asked him about it in a pregame interview, and he said, when I'm out running in April, I'm thinking about August and how strong I'm going to be then. And he's the only guy that ever gave me that answer in A-ball. And I think Ian Happ has a really good chance to have a better career than Chris Bryant, even though he wasn't the college player of the year, the minor league player of the year, the rookie of the year, and the MVP in his first 4 years. I love Chris, and I hope he gets healthy and has a wonderful career, but he's getting buried in Colorado and he can't keep himself on the field, and it's hard to stay hungry when you have that. And Baez is the same way.
When you have money too. I mean, the money's there.
Yeah. You know, and that's a factor, you know, but I think that there is a human element that says, I've got this figured out, and you never have it figured out in the game of baseball. There is always a reason to go take BP and always a reason to throw a side session, because a half an inch off on your mechanics makes you a really bad player instead of really a great player if you get out of your good habits. So I think Schwarber and Happ proved that they were willing. It mattered enough to them to be great after the game humbled them, and you can't say that about every player that comes through professional baseball. But that's the thing that separates all of, you know, it's what separates every sport and every great athlete.
So with that being said, with the evolution of the team changing around Happ and who he is now as a player, that's where the 3-year $61 million extension came to have him still be, I guess, to be a future Cub.
A leader.
Right?
A leader of this. Of
because
that
they just,
group.
I mean, they that was announced, was it today, that they said that he just signed. So now they don't have to worry about, is Happ going to leave in, you know, when it was time for trades and stuff like that. To me, that's, it says that he's a leader. We want him to stay around, that he's evolved as a player.
I didn't hear that news. That's great for him. Yeah. I knew they had signed Horner a couple of weeks ago, and those are, you know, and I think that's evidence of the way the game is evolving with some of the formats too, is neither of those guys are going to hit 30 home runs in a season to be the best player that they can be.
But
they're great. They're really good baseball players, and Schwarber, that's being rewarded.
Right. Key hits is the way that people look at Schwarber now. Oh, my gosh, did you see that key hit? You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We have Randy Wehofer in here. We have him for one more segment. Need something?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you're just happy. I'm happy. We're all happy.
I can talk to Randy. It's okay.
Okay. We got it. No, you got it. We'll be right back.
Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
If only we could have it on without the commercials. What the things we talk about.
Like I said,
Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're glad you're in here with us. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Sitting in here with Randy Wehofer. Scott's in here with us too. You can check us out on Twitter. He is at Randy Wehofer. Scott is at ScottBrower_13. I am at Steen on Sports. This is Happy Hour Sports. That's at Happy Hour _SS. And as always, we're on the 1700 The Champ. So that Twitter's at 1700 The Champ. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins in New York playing the Yankees. You got the last read, my
last read of the day. Palmer Group, employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, there's over 500 jobs that are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting, finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage, and banking keep both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what the Palmer Group can do for you.
Perfect. Okay, so today was Windy City Wednesday and Jethro's Wing Wednesday. Had a great day.
Yeah, the Windy City Wednesday ticket bundle is a reserve ticket, a 16-ounce Over the Ivy Confluence beer, and a Chicago hot dog for $23. And I think we... For the very first day that it was available, I think we had 50 or 60 of those packages that were redeemed. So that's every Wednesday. You order in advance. You pick up the food vouchers when you come to the ballpark. It's real simple. It's similar to our Tuesday promotion, which is two pizza slices, two drinks, and two tickets. And we had 180 of those redeemed last night. So,
awesome.
You know, those weekday games, we've got a lot of good value. Tomorrow night.
Mug Club.
Yeah, Mug Club. Get your first beer free every Thursday when you join the Mug Club. Big Grove is the sponsor this year. The Mug also...
he has all the keywords for us.
The Mug also gets you discounted refills at every game when you bring your mug to the game. There's two price levels, one that includes tickets if you don't have tickets already, one that's just the mug and the beer specials if you're a season ticket holder or have access to your company's tickets or things like that. So there's two options for the Mug Club, and then every Thursday, bring a fairway receipt, and you get 2-for-1 on reserve grandstand and general admission tickets. So, you know, there's lots of opportunities, particularly during the week, for big families and young families to come enjoy a night at the ballpark without breaking the bank and breaking the budget. We've got premium options and things, too, but there's a little bit something for everybody if you look around a little bit, and particularly at iowacubs.com.
Friday night, Drake basketball appearance and fireworks.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. We've got Tucker DeVries and the four seniors in the starting five. They'll be throwing out a ceremonial first pitch and nice. Signing autographs before the game. They came down to the ballpark. I was a little bit worried. They came into my office to say hello, and DJ Wilkins said, "Are you the one that went to Miami?" And I said, "I wasn't going to bring that up, fellas."
You know, leave it to DJ to dig down deep for that.
They laughed, and I told them, and I believe this, that, you know, as tough as they played Miami and then the way the rest of the matchups went, if the ball bounces the other way in that first game, Drake could have been exactly where Miami was at the end. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
He said that on our show.
Yeah, I just got a text from my wife says, could you please stop talking about beer specials?
Exactly.
She's trying to work too.
Okay, so we have Saturday catch on the field, social Saturday.
Yeah, so when you come to the game, follow along, and we've got prizes to win. Sometimes it's autographed stuff. Sometimes it's merch. Sometimes it's sponsored prizes. We've got scavenger hunts or trivia or things on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Follow all of our social channels for a chance to win stuff while you're at the game.
Nice. And it's Jackie Robinson Day. You mentioned that when you came in. All of them wearing 42.
42 on Saturday. Yes.
Thank you.
There you go. Good job.
And we will recognize Matt Mervis. The Cubs last year named their Minor League Player of the Year award after Buck O'Neill. And certainly Buck is tied to Jackie Robinson as a pioneer.
Yes.
So all the last 2 years, Brendan Davis and Matt Mervis have been the reigning Buck O'Neill Players of the Year for the Cubs system from the previous season. We recognize Brennan. We'll do a little pregame video and tribute to Matt for his accomplishments last year as part of that, too.
Sundays, always kids run bases, food pantry, kids club, bike to the ballpark, family fun pack, and Ashley Jones, a Los Angeles Spark.
Spark, yes.
So
not Wildfire, Spark.
Spark.
Two conference players of the year in their respective divisions will be at the ballpark this weekend for people to meet. That's pretty cool. And the family fun
and the
pack.
Big dog coming. That's conference player of the year, every player of the year. Yeah, that'll be a fun one as well.
So we're excited to celebrate the local athletes. The family fun pack is similar to Tuesday and the Windy City bundle. It's you start with four and then you can add on. It includes hot dogs and drinks. It's the pre-programmed stuff for a family to come out. Bring three non-perishable items for DMARC Food Pantry, and you get a free general admission ticket every Sunday. The way the weather's been, you ride your bike to the ballpark anytime, but we've got the ticket with the beer special tied into it at the bike gate,
Bridget,
too, on Sunday.
Bridget, beer.
Got to air up the tires first. Okay, so I refer to it as the Old Cub Club, which is now the Betfred Lounge.
Yes.
Is it a ticket package? How do you get in there?
So the Betfred area works similar to the Budweiser Club. So it's tables of four inside. So you call and reserve a table.
Okay.
You can reserve one online with a deposit, or you can just call Brent or one of our sales staff. Brent Conquill handles our premium area. You get the table of four for $400. You get the table of four that includes three food choices from the menu, which are ridiculously huge. Unlimited draft beer, Coke products, and water. Four Betfred chips that you can take to the bar for mixed drinks or wine. You get the table and wait service, air conditioning, heat, bathrooms within there. Then you also get four tickets in Section A by the Cubs, or B by the Cubs bullpen. So on a beautiful day like today, you can choose to sit outside for a few innings, sit inside for a few innings, and go back.
Oh, that is worth every penny. Oh, yeah.
That's what we're
gonna do. You don't do the full package, it's a $5 cover to go into the space. You can go to the bar, get a mixed drink. You can get the food from that menu. When you do the $5 cover, you get the chip. That's good for your first drink. We have to control the amount of people so 2,000 people don't run if it starts to drizzle and then we violate the fire code and all sorts of things. And it's a 21 and over area, so we need to control those things. So there is access to that. Mug Club members get free access to the Betfred area. Also on Thursdays when they bring their mug and you can fill it up in there. And you're basically in left field when you're inside. You know, you're sitting like in the outfield watching through the windows, and it's a great view. Bud Club is a similar package, less bells and whistles, a different menu, but that's $200 in April, $250 for the table of four. And that's the all-you-can-eat area up in the left field corner. Betfred isn't all you can eat, but it's all you can want and all inclusive with all the things that I just described.
Absolutely.
And that's for little smaller groups that want the premium experience as opposed to the suite, which is meant for 10 to 25.
Yep. Game on.
It is.
Done a lot of different experience from the suites to the.
Yeah.
To the.
I like being out in left field. Yep. We did the Bud Club and we'd been in, I mean, we've sat inside when it was whatever it was before. So, yeah, it's a great time. Randy, as always, it's so much fun to get to talk to you. So, where do I want to go?
Well, you teased me yesterday that you want to talk about Joe Burrow and the discussion between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. But you know what? We'll take care of that tomorrow.
Okay, we can do that. We still got a couple of minutes left. Oh my gosh, I had a question for Randy, and it just left my mind.
Well, it's I'm going through everything that we went through. We're still hearing talk about new receivers going to the Jets because, you know, Aaron Rodgers needs more. It's DeAndre Hopkins has talked about going out there. We're going to be talking NFL until the draft and then the draft and just keep talking about the NFL even before they start going to camp.
You know, we're 2 weeks away today from the NFL draft.
Right.
First numbers coming out of Kansas City was 500,000 people. I think they've bumped that to almost a million people
exactly.
To be down there during the NFL draft. That is crazy.
All right. Did you hear this stat today? The Michael Jordan's shoes, game-worn shoes from Game 2, 1998. Okay. At auction, the shoes, 2.5 $2.38 million
really?
For the shoes, which was funny because then the stat I also heard, the first shoe deal he got was $2.5 million.
And he just...
and a pair of shoes almost was as much money at auction as was his first deal. But that led me to playing on the internet for a little bit to go through the evolution of, my heavens, that is a whole rabbit hole to go down, the whole shoe industry. And the tradability and the value of these.
Oh, baseball memorabilia. Oh, crazy.
The shoe world is nuts.
Yeah. Well, Randy, we always appreciate you coming in. Wednesdays are a blast. We bombard you with baseball questions, and we love that. I know I do. It's my favorite day. So we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday, same time.
Yeah, team will be out of town in Buffalo, but I'll be even earlier next week, I hope.
There we go. We can send a wake-up call if you need.
I mean, you can come in here whenever you like. Thank you, all you do
for the
Iowa Cubs and everything and how you helped us. We love it. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're trying to bring you your sports every day. It's kind of our sports every day as well. On 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk, Real Sports Fans. Scott and I will see you tomorrow.
You may be saying that. I don't know if you actually had them, because you can't really remember the order.